Welcome to Dishing the Science with Dr. Sue. I'm your host, Dr. Sue Peterson. I'm a Canadian physician, a specialist in endocrinology and metabolism, and a diplomat of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I draw on my over 20 years of clinical experience and my extensive research background to examine the complex issues surrounding weight management, diabetes, and overall health. Thanks for joining us today. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining me on drsue.ca. That's drsue.ca. Today we're talking about how much sleep apnea improves with weight loss, and does it matter how the weight is lost? As many as 1 billion adults worldwide are estimated to have obstructive sleep apnea, called OSA for short, and 70% of people with OSA have obesity. Sleep apnea causes sleepiness, decreases cognitive functioning, reduces quality of life, and is associated with many health risks, including cardiovascular events, car accidents, and weight gain, to name a few. For people with sleep apnea and elevated weight, weight loss is recommended. With weight management medications or bariatric surgery, just how much does obstructive sleep apnea improve? Well, a recent review article strives to answer this question for us. As a quick backgrounder, the severity of obstructive sleep apnea is defined by the number of apnea or stopping breathing events plus hypopneas, which is reduced airflow events per hour. That's called the apnea-hypopnea index, or AHI. Mild obstructive sleep apnea is an AHI of 5 to 14 per hour, moderate sleep apnea is an AHI of 15 to 29 per hour, and severe sleep apnea is an AHI of 30 or more per hour. The review published in Obesity Reviews compiled data from randomized trials of people with overweight or obesity and obstructive sleep apnea who were treated with either obesity medication or bariatric surgery. They included 3 studies of gastric banding, 1 gastric bypass, 3 with GLP-1 receptor agonists. 2 of those were liraglutide 3 milligrams, which is Saxenda, and 1 was exenatide, which is actually a diabetes medication, not weight management medication, and 1 each of phentermine topiramate, which is Qsymia, zonisamide, which is not a weight loss medication, and dapagliflozin, which is Forxiga, a diabetes, heart failure, and kidney medication, not actually a weight management medication. When all of these data were pooled together, they found that each 1% weight loss resulted in a decrease in the apnea-hypopnea events by 0.45 per hour. They did not find any difference between the different types of treatment, although the number of included studies was small. If we're going for remission of sleep apnea, these data suggest that weight loss interventions may only accomplish this in milder cases or if a greater weight loss is seen. Case control or cohort data have suggested a remission rate of sleep apnea of 65% after bariatric surgery, and I've got a link to a review article in today's post, though these types of data are not as robust as randomized trials. As noted in the article, lifestyle interventions are less impactful to improve obstructive sleep apnea, suggesting that there may be other mechanisms at play with medication or surgery-induced weight loss, such as improved arousal threshold or ventilatory control. Now, tantalizing us this week is a potential game changer in the obstructive sleep apnea space, which was not included in the review that we've been talking about. This is a high-level press release of the SURMOUNT-OSA trials. It was revealed that 1 year of treatment with tirzepatide, which is Zepbound for weight management, Mounjaro for diabetes, improved the apnea-hypopnea index by 27.4 events per hour versus 4.8 events per hour with placebo in people with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea and obesity who were not on positive airway pressure therapy. Weight loss was 18.1% with tirzepatide versus 1.3% with placebo. Among people who were on and planned to continue positive airway pressure therapy, improvement in AHI was 30.4 events per hour with tirzepatide versus 6 events per hour with placebo, with weight loss of 20.1% and 2.3% respectively. These data have not been presented, nor peer-reviewed or published, and we look forward to learning more about these studies when the full data become available. Other emerging potential weight management medication strategies are also under evaluation as treatment of obstructive sleep apnea. So the bottom line here is that based on the analysis in the review article, each 1% weight loss with medications causing weight loss or bariatric surgery improves sleep apnea a little. A greater weight loss gives greater benefit. New and emerging data with new treatment approaches are exciting, and I will keep you posted with further updates. As a disclaimer, I receive honoraria as a continuing medical education speaker and consultant from the maker of liraglutide, which is Novo Nordisk, tirzepatide, which is Eli Lilly, exenatide, and dapagliflozin, which is AstraZeneca. I am or have been an investigator in clinical trials of liraglutide, tirzepatide, and dapagliflozin. That's all for now. Thanks for listening. drsue.ca. Thanks for listening to Dishing the Science with Dr. Sue. For more information about current hot topics and science relating to obesity, diabetes, and overall health, check out the show notes for links and visit drsue.ca. That's drsue.ca. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platforms. Medical discussion on this podcast is of a general nature only, not designed to give specific medical advice to individuals nor their individual healthcare providers, and is intended for a Canadian audience.